All right, welcome to the Stock Market Update. It is Tuesday, April 19th, and wow, there's a lot to talk about today. Yesterday, stocks didn't go nowhere, but interest rates are skyrocketing. We'll take a look at this. Natural gas and corn prices are out of control. We'll take a look at these. There's a tale of two stories between Bank of America and Charles Schwab. We'll take a quick look at this. And today's highlight, Netflix earnings. Plus, we'll show you what we traded yesterday and why we took certain trades and why we skipped certain trades. But before we dive in and show you what's moving the markets, if this is your first time here, hi, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And together we have more than 47 years of trading experience. And every morning we sift through a mountain of news websites, newsletters, and reports. And then we take the most important news and go live right here to share with you what you need to know as you head into your trading day. If this is your first time here, I know it can be a little bit overwhelming, but don't worry. We have a special video just for you that I will link to in the description. And that's a great place to get started. but before we take a look at the markets and how we are trading then, let me share something really quick. Mark, as you know, a few weeks ago, I met with the team to plan the second quarter. And we worked on 8 different projects we wanted to complete this quarter. And during one of the breaks, Rory started talking about ButcherBox. Have you heard about ButcherBox?
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's a monthly subscription service that delivers meat right to your door. Anyhow, so as we were walking towards the elevator to go downstairs to get a Starbucks, Rory kept raving about the quality of the meat and all the other benefits of the service. And I know that you're buying your meat at the grocery store, and so do I. And I thought, maybe not. So we went into the elevator, continued our conversation, and Rory told me that he signed up for ButcherBox during a special promotion and that he's getting free chicken wings for life. Now that got my attention. I love chicken wings. And I got really good at making air fryer chicken wings, way better than any restaurant. Anyhow, so when I heard free chicken wings for life, I was sold. So I pulled out my phone, wanted to sign up for ButcherBox, but you see, now they have a different promotion. It's free ground beef for life. And see, we were still in the elevator and I complained, I don't want ground beef. I want free chicken wings. And Roy said, well, you probably have to wait until they have the next promotion for this. And that's when the guy in the elevator turned around and said, or you could buy a chicken farm. I thought I must have misunderstood what he said, because I said, excuse me? And he just shrugged his shoulder and said, or you could buy a chicken farm. That's what we do in Iowa, and left the elevator. So, I mean, it was very random, but then I thought about it, because yesterday I had a conversation with my contractor, and he said that his business is no longer fun. He can't get the materials because of supply chain issues. He has to reschedule his workers. The price of materials fluctuate actually so much that from the time he submits a bid until he starts a project, it has already fluctuated by 20%, and that difficult to find reliable workers. And I told him, hey, have you thought about trading? When you're trading, it's just you and your computer, and you don't have all these challenges. And see, he looked at me the same way as I looked at the stranger in the elevator, because for me, trading is the obvious solution to Tom's problem. And for that guy in the elevator, the obvious solution to me wanting free chicken wings for life was buying a chicken farm. I guess it's all about perspective, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. That's great. That's great. Absolutely.
All right, let's take a look at the market. So yesterday, I mean, we have to switch to a 5-minute chart to see the story, because at the end of the day, the S&P was basically unchanged. I mean, down not even 1 point.
Yeah, you're right. The 5-minute chart really paints a different picture here. It tells a different story, up and down, back and forth, some decent swings here, but really just settling, slightly lower. Actually, you could just say it was flat for the day where it ended up. And, it's interesting, because it's still about the yield, the Fed, and then earnings, and it's traders trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, and yesterday, pretty much all three indices were basically flat. I mean, the NASDAQ down 18 points, that's flat for the NASDAQ. I mean, if you're trading at 13,000, that is flat. The Dow was down 40 points, and if you're trading at 34,000, that's basically flat. And yeah, you mentioned it. The yield. Look at this. Still skyrocketing, still making new highs. Now, I mean, attacking the 3% level. That is that is a level that we haven't seen since, what, sometime in 2018. Yeah, late 2018.
And all things considered, with that March higher and yesterday being flat, that's a win.
Yeah. And I mean, right now, if we switch over to the FOMC FedWatch tool, I mean, traders are now pricing in a probability of a rate hike of half percentage point of 91%. So it crept up even higher yesterday. It was 88% when we looked at it yesterday morning.
Yeah, did you see St. Louis Fed Chief James Bullard's comments?
Yeah, I mean, wow. So he basically said, you know what? I think we should hike it by 75 basis points, right? Kind of crazy.
Yeah, he said it shouldn't be ruled out. And I mean, gosh, but even that idea on the table, that puts things into perspective. He also said that rates should be at 3.5% by year end, with at least a half point basis or a half point increase in May. So
yeah, I mean, thus far he seems to be the only one. Traders are not even factoring in that there could be a potential of a 75 or 0.75% interest rate hike.
Yeah, and unless I got the timing wrong, when I saw that comment, I thought maybe the markets would really react to that. But it looks like that drop in the afternoon came before his comments. I could be wrong, but it seems like traders just kind of shrugged that off, which I felt was interesting. Because I believe last time he started talking, the markets reacted.
Yeah, they did. So, I mean, talking about inflation, I mean, corn prices are, let's just... Oh, that's not corn. I thought it was ZZ. Corn futures.
It should be. There it is.
Okay, I probably picked the wrong one there. So corn futures. I mean, if we switch that to a weekly chart, we just see that they are at highs that we haven't seen in what? How many years? Look at this. Since 2012, that's at a 10-year high where we have corn futures right now.
I haven't traded corn futures probably since 2012.
Yeah. But I mean, it just shows. And also, what's the other one? Natural gas, NG. You can take a look at natural gas. That's also just skyrocketing. Let's take a look at a weekly chart. Look at natural gas. I mean, we haven't had highs like this since, what, 2008? The levels that we're trading at right now.
Some big swings, a lot of volatility here in these futures markets.
Yeah.
And with corn and grains, you have the limit moves to worry about where trading can stop. That could get a little scary if you're short trying to take the other side.
So, I mean, let's talk about earnings. So yesterday, Bank of America reported earnings and they actually had a really great day, up 3.5% this morning, pre-market trading a little bit higher. On the other hand, we had Schwab reporting earnings and they got hammered yesterday. So what's the difference? I mean, they're both like kind of banks.
And it's interesting to see the difference in reaction. But Marcus, I didn't pick it apart any reason why.
No, it's Charles Schwab had disappointing results here. So as you can see, the earnings were down, the revenue was down, while Bank of America seemed to do really well. So both earnings were up and profits were up. And it's really interesting because Charles Schwab still has a lot of trading business. And I mean, people are shying away from trading right now as markets are so volatile. I mean, last year when the markets had just been going up, 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 everybody and his grandmother bought stocks because, I mean, it was super easy to make money in stocks, right? Now it's more tricky, but it's still possible. I mean, we show our accounts, or I show my account every month. And yes, I mean, the first quarter for us was really, really good when you know what you're doing.
Sure. And when I mentioned the difference there, I wasn't sure if there was any future guidance that came out with Schwab. That's not just in the revenue and the earnings. But you're right. It's funny. We could probably just pull up Bitcoin, see how Bitcoin's doing, and know how trading's going.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? If Bitcoin's rallying, trading's going great. If Bitcoin's fallen, trading activity's down.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good barometer here. Good indicator. Okay, so today the big one will be Netflix, NFLX. So Netflix reporting after the bell today. And right now, slightly down. And you see, going into earnings, trading lower here. So that will be a big one, because the last time they warned that subscriber growth was slowing down. And ever since, I mean, they beat earnings, both in profits and revenue. But they said our subscriber growth is slowing. And that's what's concerning investors here with Netflix.
Sure, and we'll see what their guidance is, which is going to be key.
Yeah, and this is where I saw this this survey from CNBC. Which of the following, if any, have you done in the past 6 months because of higher prices? And look at this, 35% canceled a monthly subscription. So this is where, because at first you might think, okay, what does Netflix have to do with inflation, right? But that's exactly the point. How does inflation hurt consumers? And here we see, okay, cutback on dining out. That's always the first thing. Yeah, then cutback on driving as energy prices are skyrocketing. But then canceled a monthly subscription. That's a new one that is there. So this could hurt Netflix. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's actually talk about our trades yesterday, because there were two trades. So one trade that popped up was Macy's, and we both took the trade. So we sold the 23 put expiring 422, right? And got some decent premium for this, got $12 per put. But then another trade that also popped up was, surprisingly, we just talked about it, Schwab. Now, we passed on the trade. Why? I mean, doesn't it look very similar, like a good opportunity here?
It was a decent look, and I flagged it as a maybe in PowerX Optimizer when I was looking at it. For me, the reason why it wasn't even a consideration other than a quick glance was because of the Wells Fargo trade that I'm in.
Right. So this is where we have the asset correlation, and this is where right now I need to update it. So I am here in TPR, then we have the Wells Fargo trade. And then if we would add to this the Charles Schwab trade, there would be an extremely high correlation over the last, even year, over the last 3 months, over the last 6 months. And we see that the correlation here is a 0.75. So it's almost like doubling up on our Wells Fargo position here.
Exactly. And with that in mind, it's just too correlated for me. And, you know, I didn't even check to see if I was able to close Wells Fargo, but because we were close to our 90% max profit. But at the beginning of the day, when Schwab popped up, I was not out of the Wells Fargo trade, so I didn't want to double up.
Right. Now, this would have been a possibility. We could have closed out Wells Fargo, because yesterday, Wells Fargo had a pretty good day, a pretty good up day yesterday. So we could have closed it out and get into the Charles Schwab trade. But I mean, with lackluster trading yesterday, why rush into anything? I mean, we only want to see a nice down day to sell puts. And so yesterday we took one trade, and maybe today there's a few more coming up. Let's take a look at the markets in pre-market trading, and let's see what the NASDAQ futures are doing here in overnight trading. A little bit all over the place, and right now pointing to a lower opening. But boy, look at this, these overnight swings. These are decent swings. I mean, from the high to the low here, we're looking at a almost 1.5% swing.
That is a decent overnight move. And so we rallied and came off of session lows there as we got closer to the U.S. market open. But now it looks like we're pulling back a little bit. And if we just look at the numbers, quiet start, but we are red for the index futures.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be a good day either way. I mean, we could be selling calls against our existing positions. You're in AMD, I'm in TPR, or we might be able to sell some more puts. I mean, so this is where the great thing for us is, it doesn't matter what markets are doing. If they're going down, we're selling puts. If they're going up, we're selling calls. I mean, it's all good, right? It's all good, taking advantage of premium and time decay here. Anyhow, so if you would like to know, okay, how exactly do we do this? I'll post a few videos right here that you can take a look at of how we trade and what does it mean, the selling puts and selling calls. And I have a video here where I explain this in 15 minutes or less. Check this out, and then we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Happy trading, everybody.